Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Welcome to the Everything Action Cast for the week of November 29th, 2010. I'm your host, Zach, and joining me this week is Brian.
Hello.
And Joe.
What's up, bitches?
Yeah, so we are back from Thanksgiving, full turkey, bought tons of Blu-rays during the crazy Cyber Monday, Black Friday sales. Saying we are back for another podcast. We're going to try a grand experiment tonight. We're going to try probably the first ever Skype edition of the Leonard Maltin game. It was created by Doug Benson.
It's classic.
Yes.
We're destined to fail, but you'll be coming with us.
Come with us on this journey.
Of failure and sorrow.
All right, so, I know it's Thanksgiving weekend, but did you anybody watch anything? Brian? Joe? Brian, why don't you start off?
Who?
I don't know. You want to go, Brian, or Joe?
Yeah, I can go quickly. I didn't really watch much. I mean, Walking Dead. I'm trying to think. Yeah, that's about it.
Okay, so what do you think of The Walking Dead, Brian?
It's great. They've kind of set themselves up. The season finale is this Sunday.
Yeah.
And spoiler alert. Want to be that? They get in contact with the CDC or some guy at the CDC.
That was awesome.
And they're trying to find a cure. From the end of the last episode, they got attacked by zombies and a couple people died. Jim got bit. And then there's just the ongoing tension between him and Shane and his wife and. The kind of love triangle that's gone on,
mm-hmm.
and Merle's still out there. So,
Michael Rooker.
A lot of people up in the air. Yeah, it should be good. Also, let me talk about Dexter.
Mm-hmm.
Watched it late last night, and I'm just gonna say this. I don't really want to elaborate more, but the thing that people thought was gonna happen for most of the season finally happens. And I forgot to mention, I keep forgetting about it, but Peter Weller is in this season.
Yes.
As a dirty mouthed, crooked cop, and he is just absolutely awesome. So I just was reading that apparently they didn't want to go for like a big John Lithgow type guest star this year. So they're going for smaller pieces. So they got Peter Weller and Julia Stiles currently. So,
it's like bad guys or just like new characters? Not necessarily
as
bad.
As new characters, she's a girl who's been raped, and Dexter's trying to find the people involved. And Peter Weller's kind of the bad guy, but he's more of a bad guy lurking in the background who's just has evidence to bring Dexter down as a serial killer for good. So it'll be interesting where they go with it.
Is he up to like Christopher Henderson levels?
Not as, like, sinister, but he's just, like, a kind of the pain in the ass. Like, he's a giant asshole is what he is.
Okay.
He's just, like, just a huge dick. Yeah, it's been pretty good, and I've enjoyed the season. Obviously not as much as last season, which was, like, off the charts awesome. But I'm back in. I was kind of out of it, but now I'm back in it, so. Good show.
Awesome. All right, so, Joe, what'd you watch?
Other than those two shows, which I agree have been absolutely phenomenal, I saw Boardwalk Empire, which is probably my favorite new show on TV, with Blue Bloods in close second.
Okay,
and I've actually kept up with it, but I've missed like the last like 2 or 3 weeks. I just stopped watching the event like straight up.
Awesome.
And same thing with Hawaii 5-0.
Oh, Hawaii 5-0 is like, it's ridiculously, it's charmingly ridiculous still.
Yeah, that's the feeling I got, and I was like, I have so much other shit to watch, like I can't be wasting precious DVR space.
It's kind of got, like, Hawaii Five-O kind of has, like, an awesome, like, CSI Miami thing going on, cause, like, it'll end, like, the cold open, we have, like, a, just, like, a horrific dead body or, like, a murder, and then we'll go, like, da-da-da-da-da-da.
Exactly.
Oh, my God, my wife got killed. Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. But, yeah, Boardwalk Empire was absolutely great, and I cannot wait for the season finale coming up this Sunday night. So that ought to be great. And then Saturday, a rare treat, I was actually able to go see a movie with Chris while he was home for Thanksgiving. Went to go see Faster.
Oh, man.
Starring Dwayne Johnson and Billy Bob Thornton. Here's an indicator of the night. We got there about 10 minutes before the movie started, and we were like, oh, man, I really hope we get seats, blah, blah, blah. We walked in, and it was just us. So
yeah, it wasn't really busy in my theater either. There was, like, probably, like, maybe 10 people each show.
Yeah. I mean, basically, by the time the movie started, there were maybe 10 people other than us in the theater. So, you know, whatever. That's not an indication of how I felt about the movie, though. Quite the contrary. As I was talking with you about before the podcast, I do feel that in terms of, like, overall, like, quality of film and acting from The Rock, that this is pretty much on par with Walking Tall. The movies, obviously, it's not an apples to apples comparison. Like, they're both revenge movies, but this is Faster is closer to, like, a Death Wish type revenge movie, where it's very dark, very gritty. Like, you know, it's a little bit cheesy at times and how over the top it is, but the fact that it is that over the top and it is very gritty and very violent and The Rock is starring in it, I mean, that's fine by me, because these are the kind of roles that I want to see him play, especially considering the last two movies, you know, was the Tooth Fairy and then the voice of an astronaut in, like, Planet 51. So, you know, I thought that overall the movie was really good. The action and the fight choreography was very, very good. It sort of reminded me a bit of, I guess, Taken, in the sense that it's that very tactical sort of Krav Maga, but it was really gritty and very, like, I guess, optimized for, like, street combat and stuff. Like, there was nothing pretty to look at. It wasn't like Jet Li fight choreography, you know? This was just, like, good old-fashioned street fighting. Like, probably one of my favorite scenes, and this isn't really a spoiler, but, like, he has a confrontation with one of the men that wound up killing his brother in a bathroom at a club. And he goes in there. He gets frisked going in, so he doesn't carry in a gun or anything. And, like, the only thing he could find is an ice pick. So, like, he's holding it in his hand, and, like, the other guy has the guy he's confronting, like, he's a bouncer at the club. So he has, like, an actual, like, knife. And The Rock just, like, fucks him up with an ice pick. So, like, that was very cool. And I guess that's sort of, that's, like, a good metaphor for the movie, that it's, like, a blue-collar sort of gritty get-her-done type revenge movie. Like, there's not a lot of finesse to it, but that's not what I wanted from it personally, so I was happy with it. Mm-hmm. And Billy Bob Thornton was great in that movie. I can't really talk about his character too much without giving a lot of stuff away, but he's very hard to read for most of the movie, which is exactly what his character, like, calls for, and, like, what makes his character interesting. Like, you don't know if he's good or bad, and he's very unreliable. Like, you never see him do, like, things that are concretely good or, like, concretely bad, but you just, like, have your suspicions about him. And I thought that he was, like, perfect for that role. And it was a good contrast with Dwayne Johnson, mm-hmm, also. Because, I mean, Dwayne Johnson is, like, this tank of a man who's, like, on this warpath, for revenge. Then you have Billy Bob Thornton, who plays a cop who's like 10 days away from retirement, and he's kind of like Billy Bob Thornton. Like, he's a scrawny, like, older guy. So that was very cool. One of my favorite things about the movie, and this was sort of like on par with Crank for me, was the sort of like batshit crazy factor of some of the plot points. Like, for instance, in the preview, they say they thought they killed me, but they were wrong. Yeah, The Rock has a steel plate in the back of his skull from which he was shot in the head.
Awesome.
But the bullet narrowly missed his brain and, like, comes out the front of his face. So, basically, he's like a ghost, is what they keep saying throughout the movie, is that, like, he's dead, there's no way he could be alive, blah, blah, blah. All I'm going to say is that the steel plate in the back of his head is not just, like, a passing sort of comment that they make. It's like, oh, he has a steel plate in the back of his head. It comes into play in the fucking movie.
Well, it has to.
It absolutely does. When that happened, Chris and I just looked at each other and we were like, okay. Like, this has officially reached, like, Crank status.
Somebody,
in terms of...
Like, somebody's going to, like, break their hand, like, punching the Rock in the back of the head or something.
Yeah, there's a bunch of shit that happens to him that you're like, wow, he should probably be dead. It's like, oh, there he is again. He's okay. And, the one thing that, and I think I could speak for Chris here, because he was saying this to me throughout the whole movie, was that from the previews, there's that, like, assassin dude who's like, he's not as good as me. He's Foster.
Yeah.
I heard that dude was more interesting than The Rock.
Really? Like, every review I've read, like, everyone hates him.
Oh, he was a great villain. Like, he's a total douchebag, and, like, he's very hateable. But, like, in general, I'm not saying that actor did a better job than The Rock. Quite the contrary. I think The Rock was, like, the shining star of that movie. Like, he's actually a very good actor, and I really hope that a lot of people start seeing that and stop sort of dismissing him as, like, the former wrestler, blah, 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 or the Tooth Fairy.
Yeah.
And, you know, this other character, though, this, like, assassin who had, like, polio or something, like, when he was a baby and, like, they said he'd never walk.
Okay,
like,
I saw that part. I saw that part.
Yeah, he's got so this complex where he needs to, like, conquer shit.
Then didn't he become, like, he became Bill Gates or something? Like, he made, like, a software company?
It's basically, like, if
Bill Gates became an assassin.
If Bill Gates / Bruce Wayne / like, James Bond and Sterling Archer were all, like, one kick-ass person... that's basically what this guy was.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, well, I just got done mastering the hardest yoga position on the planet, so I think I'm done with yoga. Like, I beat it. His girlfriend's like, you beat yoga. Is that how you look at everything? And he's like, yeah, pretty much. There are, like, pictures of him, like, at the top of Mount Everest and, like, all this fucking crazy shit. And, like, when he does his assassinations, the fee he charges is $1. Like, he only charges $1 for these, like, crazy assassinations. And, you know, they're like, why do you charge $1? And he's like, oh, because I just like the challenge. They're like, okay, whatever, here's $1. So, yeah, that Chris was like, god damn, that's, like, such an interesting character. Like, I want to see more of him. And, like, they try to do a lot with his character throughout the course of the movie, but it just never really adds up to anything. Because, mm-hmm. like, you see all this stuff happening in his life and, like, all these cool things that they start to develop, but then it's like, oh, okay, well, The Rock beats him. I guess that's it for you. Like, it was fun while it lasted. Overall, it was pretty good, and it was definitely what I expected it to be. And very much like the very first scene of The Walking Dead, where that little girl is, like, shot in the face, like, you know what you're in for from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically how this movie was, too. So, thumbs up.
Awesome. And hopefully more action movies from The Rock.
Yes, very much so. As a matter of fact, I would not mind seeing him in the Keep if the rumors are true that he's up for Superman.
That'd be crazy.
Well, Hollywood would have a very hard time letting anyone other than, like, a upstanding white gentleman play Superman, but I think The Rock could do it personally.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just my two cents.
Awesome.
What about you, Zach?
I was just gonna mention a couple more things about The Walking Dead.
Sweet.
I thought, like, the whole CDC thing was, like, it really reminded me of, like, season 2 of Lost when they, like, went to the hatch and stuff. And there's like just the one guy down there, like for like ever, going like crazy. And I'm also like wondering, because I know like the internet was like, I think they like predicted like where what the season finale like last shot was gonna be. Have you seen any of that, Joe?
Actually, you know what? My DVR cut off.
Well, like it's just like the internet just like is like predicting like what the last shot's gonna be based on like what based on the comic.
Like no, what
like,
what is it?
Like the end of issue 6, I think it is. Like something happen, like something huge happens.
Don't release any spoilers, okay?
I'm not. I'm just like something big happens, and then like everyone's predicting like that's gonna be like the last shot of the season. But like I think the CDC thing kind of like might have thrown like a wrench in it. I don't know, cause like
the bit, like the... well, don't forget like this, it's not entirely like adapted from the comics this season, especially this season. Like they took a lot from it, but it's only a 6-episode season, so this was more of a like test.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they didn't want to invest like 22 episodes into a show that nobody watches. So that's why they like fast tracked the whole like second season.
Yeah.
You know, and like they ordered all those episodes and shit. And I think Thomas Jane is coming on board too, which is going to be absolutely fucking awesome. Even though I have no idea who he would be.
He should be, he should be the guy from The Mist.
Yeah.
Like wanders in.
He should just be Frank Castle. That'd be great. It's they like, just meet Frank Castle in Atlanta.
Or it's just like the guy from Mist is like, you think zombies are bad? I had to deal with fucking aliens from another dimension. I just shoot my kid in the face.
I've never seen The Mist. How was that?
It is awesome. I got it on Blu-ray from the Amazon sale.
Is it really awesome, or is it awesome, terrible? Or okay.
Like, the end is just, like, insane.
Okay, because that was one of those movies that definitely got, like, swept under the carpet, where it was like, The Mist.
I guess there's like a black and white version of the Blu-ray too, which sounds awesome, which I'm definitely gonna check out when I get it.
That's really cool.
Walking Dead and The Mist, you know, both
Frank Darabont. Yep.
Yeah.
And the only other thing I watched last week was Stargate. I got it from Netflix because I hadn't seen it in a long time, and that movie doesn't hold up at all.
No, not even a little bit.
It's like. Everything that is wrong, like every bad thing about Roland Emmerich is just like amplified 10 times in that movie. Like,
damn. I don't know. I'd say his other like disaster movies have been worse.
Well,
actually, kind of like I have a soft spot for Stargate.
Well, just like, indeed, like in his disaster movies, there's like awesome shit blowing up to like counteract like all the horrible dialogue and like just cheesy moments, and like there's nothing in that. There's like none of that in Stargate.
That's true.
It's just like James Spader like talking to like this like tribe of people for like an hour, and then yeah, Kurt Russell, but he's just like a depressed asshole the entire movie.
Yep, he is.
Because I remember like the crazy ships they had and like the crazy like Anubis guy shooting energy weapons, and that's like maybe 10 minutes of the movie. And then another thing was like I got the Blu-ray of it and I'm watching it and like. Like they're talking in a crazy like Egyptian language, and I'm like, is there supposed to be subtitles maybe, or it's like they don't, maybe it's just because they don't know the language, so they're not gonna like subtitle it. So I was flipping, I pressed my subtitle button and it popped up, and it's like I missed like half the movie. It's like,
excellent.
Because the subtitles didn't automatically turn on. It was like really weird.
Well, someone got fired for that.
But I was just like, whatever.
Rest assured. Rest assured, someone is panhandling now because of their oversight.
Yeah. And also, like, French Stewart, like, most unreal, like, unbelievable Marine ever.
That's all I need to say.
Yeah, so that was kind of depressing. Because I remember that movie being pretty awesome when I was a kid.
It probably was pretty awesome when you were a kid, but... I mean, shit. I thought Batman and Robin was awesome when I was a kid, too. So, you know.
And it makes the fact that there's, like, 3 Stargate TV shows, like, even more, like, weird.
Yeah, especially since, like, SG-1's, like, really popular with the nerds.
Yeah. And, like, Atlantis, and now there's, like, Stargate Universe.
Yeah, there's a strange demand for Stargate.
Yeah, it's weird.
You know, just because there's so much you could do with that concept,
mm-hmm.
that yeah. basically all you need to do is, like, go up to Sci-Fi with, like, a storyboard and, I guess, some reasonable funding, and they'll be like, well, We were just going to show Man Thing again. So I guess you could have a show.
It's like we can either greenlight this or like Giant Shark versus Technogator.
Technogator. Oh man. No, that's actually going to happen. That next Halloween on Sci-Fi, you'll see Technogator is going to be a fucking movie.
It should be like their new trend, like you know how they did like giant animals for a while and it was like prehistoric animals. It should be like mechanical animals, like cyborg animals attacking.
No, they're just going to cut to the alligator and just go.
Oh, man.
Cyber Shark.
Cyber Shark versus Technogator.
Yes. Trademark. It's trademark.
Versus Android Flamingo. I don't really know where Android Flamingo comes in. He was a very poorly designed model.
Versus, like, Mecha Mastodon.
Versus Armored Armadillo.
I can see, like, I can see a J. Jonah Jameson type at Sci-Fi just saying, let's go with it!
Crap. Mega crap.
Sounds good. Let's go with it.
Outrageous. Done.
They could take, like, their old movie Mastodon and just, like, throw, like crazy, like, wires, like, redo the, like, the footage, the CG, just, like a Mecha Mastodon.
Or just Photoshop it silver.
Yep.
It's like, oh, man, look at that Mecha Mastodon. It's like, isn't that the same movie? Shut up. Nobody watches us. You know that.
Yep. All right, so,
Yeah.
I guess that's it for show and tell. So,
Yes.
Why don't we get into news, because there's a bunch of news last week. First up, why don't we talk about the new Source Code trailer, which is the second movie from Duncan Jones, who came on the scene last year with a critically acclaimed Moon with Sam Rockwell. Brian, you watched that, right?
Yeah, I saw Moon. Moon was awesome.
Okay.
And awesome in a 2001 Space Odyssey type vein.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't seen this new trailer yet, but fun fact, Duncan Jones is David Bowie's son.
Awesome.
Yep.
So, yeah, Source Code, it's sort of like, it's definitely more like an action thriller, sort of like Deja Vu or 12 Monkeys.
Yep.
And so that Jake Gyllenhaal is like a Marine, and he gets tapped into like this government experiment where they can like send him into another guy's body for like 8 minutes, and they're trying to figure out like who blew up this train. Because I guess the guy's going to blow up another train, a bigger train or something, or a bigger target in, I think it's like Atlanta or something, maybe. So, like, he's got to, like, try to figure out, like, who the bomber is. Every time, he's going back in time to, like, figure out who the bomber is. So, Joe, did you watch this trailer?
No, and I didn't watch it because I haven't seen Moon, but I want to see Moon. Because I have heard very cool things about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I was trying to hold off, you know, I mean, I don't know how much it has to do with Moon, if anything.
It's pretty much like the exact, like the polar opposite.
Yeah, so I don't know. I just kind of wanted to see that first before I could, like, feel a certain way about this trailer, you know? Because I have nothing to, like, hold it up to.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it seemed to be a huge fucking deal, though. Like, everyone was, like, really excited about it. So.
It looks pretty interesting.
I'm looking forward to it, yeah.
Like, it's definitely got, like, a cool concept behind it. Like, I don't know if it's going to be, like, it's crazy, like, 12 Monkeys or, like, Primer or something, but... And I think that comes out, like, March or something, or April or something next year. So, definitely check that out when it comes out. Next bit of news is that we got some more news about the Uncharted movie that's coming out, based on the video game. So, David O. Russell is going to be directing it, who directed, Three Kings, I Heart Huckabees, and The Fighter is coming out in a couple weeks. And I guess Mark Wahlberg is going to be playing the main character, Nathan Drake, who's sort of like a modern-day Indiana Jones character. I know, Brian, you probably never played Uncharted, but Joey, have you played Uncharted? Or
no.
Both of them.
Okay.
And I love them dearly.
Oh, good. Because I'm sure Chris heard of them, but because he has an Xbox, so he never played it.
Yeah, Chris and I actually rented the first one, like 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, whenever it first came out. And, we did like a marathon session at my house and just like beat it in a night. Cause it was that good. Like,
yeah.
when they say like, oh, this game is like playing a movie, like, no, this is really like playing a goddamn movie. Like, it was insane. So it was a game where like every time I wanted to like say, okay, I should probably get some sleep. I was like, oh, fuck, man, I got to see what happens. So it was very, very great. And, you know, as long as they just adapt it from the source, I don't really see how that much work could have to go into it other than, like, shooting the thing.
I think you're going to be very disappointed, Joe.
Oh, I know, I know. I was actually going to alley-oop that to you, my friend.
Because, like, David Russell has, like, some insane, like,
batshit crazy idea.
Because he's like, what? It doesn't really have a story because it's a video game, so we're going to go in a completely different direction with it.
Good.
So he's like Nathan Drake's going to be, like, an antiquities, like, dealer or thief or something, and it's going to be, like, in New York City, like, nowhere near jungles or anything, and, like, he wants to get, like, was it Robert De Niro to play Nathan Drake's father and, like, Joe Pesci to play his uncle?
Good.
It's like, what the fuck is going on? Like, you just, like, put Uncharted on, like, put it on, like, that story onto screen and it'll be awesome.
The story itself kicks ass.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just like...
It's modern day Indiana Jones.
That's basically exactly what it was.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I was so thrilled that Ryan Reynolds / Dean Cook wasn't playing Drake that I was like, you know, oh man, nothing can go wrong with this. And you know what? I don't even hate Mark Wahlberg in the lead role. Like, I think that's potentially very good casting. But, I mean, from the onstart of that, from like the offset of that game, like, every time I saw... oh, god damn it. What's the dude with the cigars name? Sully, right? Was it Sully? Yeah.
Bruce Campbell?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, that is Bruce Campbell. Like, it was modeled after Bruce Campbell. And him and Sam on Burn Notice are basically the same character.
Pretty much, yeah.
So, what are we missing? Like, why?
Yeah.
Why? It's not like Bruce Campbell's going to turn that down. Like, are you kidding me? Like, that's his fan base anyway.
Yeah.
You know, it's like video game nerds and, like, comic people, like, they're the ones who Campbell.
Do you agree with, like, you know, the internet's choice for, like, Nathan Fillion as Nathan Drake?
I mean, I don't disagree with it.
Even though Nathan Fillion is, like, the internet's choice for everything.
I know. Yeah, that or, like, John Hamm.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. I wasn't, like, super adamant about any one actor playing Nathan Drake.
Well, you should have just got, like, Nolan North to play him.
Cause Nolan, it honestly could have been anyone.
North does the voice of Nathan, so just he pretty much, like, he looks almost exactly like him. So.
Yeah, no, you're definitely right about that, but there, you know, to me, there was no, like, one person that I was like, oh, it has to be them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it has to be this person. I just didn't feel like that, because to be totally honest here, as long as it wasn't Shia LaBeouf or Dean Cook or Ryan Reynolds, those are, like, the only people that I didn't want to go near it. Other than that, I was just like, okay, well, he's a pretty generic looking character, you know.
Like, and, I think it's more like the attitude.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's what actors do, like, they act.
Yeah.
So,
well, I was just
like,
gonna say,
like, capable actor could be Nathan Drake.
Sort of like this. So, like, it's sort of like a mix of, like, cocky and, like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, cocky and, like, shit luck, like, mixed into one.
Yeah.
Which
is always the best part, where just, like, you're getting shot at, and it's like, you gotta be fucking kidding me!
Yeah, yeah. Honestly, like, someone like Christian Bale was probably way too much money.
Mm-hmm.
And someone like Mark Wahlberg, I think, like, if he does it right, like, it'll be a really good role for him, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it could be one of his, like, better recent roles. So, that's not bad. But Robert De Niro will never be in it.
Nope.
He absolutely won't, because, I mean, that's
He was in Machete.
He was in Machete, but at the same time, like, being in Machete had a certain sort of, like, tongue-in-cheek aspect and, like, credibility to it,
mm-hmm.
you know? Like, that movie was basically a giant joke from the beginning, you know? So for him to be in it, and it wasn't a huge role that he played in it. So, I don't know. It was sort of like, oh, yeah, be in this, and it'll be a good, like, fan service type thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this will expand your audience, or, like, this will be a great cameo to have. So, I don't know.
I'm just scared.
I don't know. Me too. Me too.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully better for Mark Wahlberg than fucking Max Payne.
This is very true.
Okay, so moving on. Next bit story is that a mysterious sort of like viral video appeared last week for in a digital version of Wired, like latest Wired magazine. And apparently, it's like it was by Neil Blomkamp, and it people are thinking like it's for his next movie or like his next project. So, Brian, did you get a chance to watch this crazy video?
No, actually, and you mentioning it is the first time I've heard about it, and actually I'm very interested in checking that out because District 9, awesome.
Yes, so why don't I explain what went on in the video just so you maybe you can comment on it, Brian. So pretty much it's just these two guys, they're driving along the side of the road, and they pull up, and they see like this weird like mutant creature thing. So they're like poking at it for a little bit, and then they see that on the side of it, it's got like this like an inspection label or like a it's got a stamp on it, and it says like I think it said AGM Heartland and like some like product line number or something. So I guess Slashfilm did a bunch of research on it, and like AGM Heartland was like registered by this like viral marketing company. They do like a bunch of like you know like viral websites for like movies. So I guess it's gonna be like a big like viral marketing like company website, like kind of like I was talking about like Joe earlier, like Cloverfield. You remember when they did like the Slusho?
Yep.
Yeah. So I think it's when you like that, or like when Lost did like the Dharma Initiative, or like the Hanzo Foundation, or something, stuff like that. And I guess they said like AGM Heartland is like they manufacture genetically engineered creatures. Hmm. So that'll probably be like the plot of the movie if it's even a movie. I don't know. Like, the Wired article just said, a video by Neil Blomkamp.
Wow.
So hopefully it's the next movie, because that sounds awesome. And I'm, like, on board for pretty much anything Neil Blomkamp does after District 9.
Yep, same here.
So, I think Joe... Is Joe back
yet? Did he,
He had to run off
fight the big
point.
One?
He got eaten by a genetically engineered creature.
Oh, it says he's still here.
Yeah.
Oh, he had to go.
Yeah, he ran off quick.
All right.
We'll come back. We'll see if he has any comments when we come back. But let's move on to the next story.
Yep.
So we got some news about the Disney is going to be moving forward with a movie version of The Lone Ranger.
Cool.
Directed by Gore Verbinski, who did the Pirates movies. And Johnny Depp.
Oh, yeah.
Johnny Depp's going to be starring as Tonto.
Yeah, I heard about that this week.
So, any thoughts of that, Brian? And it's going to be Bruckheimer produced.
Could be good. Could be crap. I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence about it. More leaning towards it could be good, so.
Yeah.
We'll just have to hear more about it, like who's going to be the Lone Ranger and
yeah, they haven't announced that yet.
That'll be interesting. And going with that with what Joe said before, hopefully not Ryan Reynolds' Dane Cook.
Well, maybe they'll find, like, an unknown person.
That'd be nice.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's, like, a baseline good level for Bruckheimer Disney movies.
Yeah.
If you're, like, you have, like, National Treasure and Pirates movies and Prince of Persia.
Well, there was National Treasure 2 and the other two Pirates movies, so...
Yeah.
There is such a thing as milking it a little too much.
Mm-hmm. And kind of interesting fact that this is going to be, like, the second movie that – well, like, it's going to be, like, the fifth movie that Gore Verbinski and Johnny Depp have worked on together.
Yeah, I know. They've become BFFs.
Yeah, I think it was, like, Screen.com. They're saying, like, Tim Burton's going to get jealous.
I know. Dumped.
Mm-hmm. All right, so last bit of news this week is it actually happened – was it late last night?
I think just sometime last night.
Yeah. So we got the sad news that legendary comedian Leslie Nielsen died at age 84. So, any particular movies you remember him from, Brian? Or
I just we're gonna get into the Leonard Maltin game a little bit. He just did so many, like, Spy Hard, which is, like, a take on all the spy movies.
Yep.
Wrongfully Accused, take off on The Fugitive.
Police Squad.
The Naked Gun movies were awesome.
Yeah, Naked Squad, yep.
But he also, you know, he had some more underrated roles like Surf Ninjas.
Yes.
You know.
And Everything Action Favorite.
Yep. And, he's the king of slapstick. Nobody has done it better or will do it better. He just has such a great deadpan. And, you know, a lot of people were like, well, he's kind of based his whole career off of it. And that's true. And he, you know, like 2001 A Space Travesty and Mr. Magoo, he just kind of like, you know, was going through the motions. But at his prime, he was just so good with the Naked Gun movies.
Mm-hmm.
And
Airplane.
And Airplane, of course,
yep.
Which pretty much like put him on the map with the Zucker Abrams, Zucker comedy trio there.
Yeah.
He will be missed, and he's just one of those guys that you think about, and you're like, oh, I wonder if he's still alive, and then 2 days later, you find out that, you know, he passed away, but, just has done a great body of work. He's even done some drama. He was in Forbidden Planet, which was, like, his big break.
Oh, I saw that. A great role Leslie Nielsen had was Creepshow.
Yes.
Where he was, like... a super creepy bad guy who like killed Ted Danson.
Someone had to.
Like, he's just like so evil in that short.
Yeah.
He's like,
no, he was. And you know what? It's funny what Brian was just saying. I remember seeing Leslie Nielsen when I was little in Surf Ninjas, and I remember having a thought, being like, wow, I'm gonna be really sad when he dies one day. Like, that was one of the people that was one of the first times that I really thought about, like, old people dying or whatever. And I know this sounds really weird, but, like, every time I saw a Leslie Nielsen movie or someone, like, brought him up, like, I would think about that. I'd be like, oh, I wonder how old he actually is. Like, when he was in, I think, Scary Movie 4.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, man, he's really holding on to it. Like, good for him. Like, he's going to ride this motherfucker out. But in the last few years, like, he hasn't really been in anything, to my knowledge.
He was in, like, Stan Helsing.
Yeah,
oh,
that was like
really
time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't even see that. That's been in my instant queue forever, and I just haven't gotten around to watching it. I mean, full disclosure, you know.
That's one of the 30 Days of Hate movies over at Screen.com.
Oh, it sure was. That's probably why I was like, oh, I should watch this, and then I was like, oh, maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
Not.
So, Joe, since you missed a couple of news stories, do you want to comment on anything like Neil Blomkamp video or the Lone Ranger movie?
Yeah, I'm so sorry about that. Fucking for those who give a shit, student loans needed to like validate that I was like who I say I am. And they asked me like all these stupid ass questions. I'm like, how much more of my time are you gonna waste? And they're like, sir. Like, actually got kind of mad at me, but whatever. Yeah, that like mysterious viral video that's allegedly Neil Blomkamp's like next movie or next project, whatever. I don't know. I thought it was a pretty, it was intriguing, but I thought it was pretty stereotypical, like viral marketing,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
Like, but then again, like it did raise intrigue and I wanted to know more about it. So I guess it did its job, but, I don't know. I'll definitely be on the lookout for, more stuff from that, you know?
I'd love to see like all like crazy like creatures that he comes up with just like ripping people apart and like crazy District 9 style gore.
Yeah, that would be great. But what I saw from that video was just like
poke
like a little pot-bellied pig, you know,
two guys like poking with a stick.
Yeah, like I don't know. We'll see. I mean, hopefully it's not a fucking like it's not like viral advertisements for like the Smurf movie or something, and they're just trying to like fuck with us, you know, like who knows.
That'd be a really weird Smurf movie.
Well, yeah, but
it's like Gargamel like creates like genetically engineered this like monsters to like eat the Smurfs
that are coming through the portal.
Yeah,
that the Smurfs use to get into Times Square. Oh man, that might be the case now. I'm actually kind of worried. And then what else did you guys talk about? The Lone Ranger movie.
Yeah, we just mentioned that quick.
Not in high demand. Not in high demand. And I have a bad feeling like it's very quickly going to turn into a big joke, like the Green Hornet. Which, if you actually watched the Green Hornet and were a fan of the Green Hornet, it was a pretty cool show, and it was pretty serious. It was like, it was basically like a noir-ish Dick Tracy slash 1960s Batman mashup, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that that was very cool, especially when it was done, like, more seriously than tongue-in-cheek. So this Green Hornet movie that's coming out looks like a flaming piece of shit. It looks like a really bad joke, and I just have an awful feeling like that's what's going to happen with the Lone Ranger movie. I mean, it is a Disney movie, right?
Yeah, it's Gore Verbinski, Jerry Bruckheimer. So, oh,
Jesus.
So in the same vein as National Treasure, well, not National Treasure, but like Pirates and so pretty much Pirates because Gore Verbinski directed those.
Yeah. So basically, look for a ride and lots of action figures.
Lone Ranger of the Caribbean.
Exactly.
And Johnny Depp is Tonto.
Oh, good. didn't he say, like, oh, well, I'm, like, 120th, like, Cherokee or something,
I'm
honored to have this role? I was like, dude, shut the fuck up. Like, just don't talk instead of saying stupid shit like that. I'm 120th Cherokee. Well, I'm 120th looking forward to this fucking movie, so.
Burn.
Yeah.
Take that, Giant Depp.
Indeed. Yeah. I know he listens.
All right, so, that's it for news stories this week, so why don't we get to the news roundup? Not a lot coming out this week.
Not much going on.
It's sort of like this, like the everything else that came out during the summer is just like dumping out this week.
You may remember this movie.
Yeah. So, I'm just going to mention it because I'm sure there's going to be a Riff Tracks for it, but Eclipse, Twilight is out this week.
We'll be waiting for that one.
Riff Tracks, I'm sure it's going to be awesome. I think I'm getting the Last Airbender next from Netflix, so I downloaded the Riff Tracks for that, so I can't wait for that.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Also this week we have Sorcerer's Apprentice, speaking of Jerry Bruckheimer Disney movies, with Nicolas Cage.
Of course. Oh, that Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Yes.
Oh.
Which I heard he kind of almost gets to, like, crazy Nicolas Cage level, but not quite.
Oh, man. I was really looking forward to that, too.
Yeah, because I want my Nicolas Cage insane all the time. Like Bad Lieutenant.
You know what?
Or that movie where he thinks he's turning into a vampire.
I'm a vampire!
I gotta fucking drink blood! Ah!
Hate when that happens.
So, also out this week is the 75th anniversary edition of Fantasia, and Fantasia 2000 with it as well.
Cool.
Which has probably one of the scariest Disney characters of all time, just the night, like the Night on a Bald Mountain demon thing. Do you guys remember that?
No.
It's like,
I haven't seen that movie since I was a kid.
So, like the classical song Night on a Bald Mountain, it's just like this giant demon devil black thing just coming out of a mountain. I think you had to fight it like in the original Kingdom Hearts.
Was it like Walt Disney's like metaphor for anti-Semitism or something? Like,
I don't know.
Okay, whatever. Oh, Walt, you and your ideas.
So also is Night and Day, the Tom Cruise movie that came out this summer.
Saddle up.
Vampires Suck, which is the newest movie from the Epic Movie, other shitty movie.
Surprisingly, they're still alive.
Mm-hmm.
Who keeps financing these goddamn movies? I don't get it.
Because they cost like $1 million to make. And they make like $20 million or like opening weekend, like that.
It's basically just like Vegas money for the producers.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, whatever. Let's... Could use a new house. Do it.
There's a horrifying video of, like, just, like, you know, like, one of those promo, like, commercials where, like, they interview, like, audience members who just saw it.
Mm-hmm.
It's for that, and they show, like, clips from the movie, and, like, people are coming, like, that was the funniest movie ever! Yeah! I was laughing my ass off!
Oh, the wonders of drugs.
And, like, they go in the theater and, like, they show, like, this horrible joke. Like, not even a joke, but just, like, reference to something. As all those movies do. And, like, the whole theater is just like, yeah!
I've heard of that before. Yeah! Woo!
I've seen that.
Dude, that's like I was watching the
Jersey
Expendables
Shore,
tonight.
Jersey Shore, it's on TV.
Oh, my God. I was watching the Expendables Blu-ray today, and yeah. I was watching the From the Ashes documentary about post-production, mm-hmm. and they had this segment on, like, the test screenings, and they were showing, like, actual commentary cards, like, all these things, and they just showed the most, like, absolute, like, dick-sucking commentaries ever. Like, there was one that was like, I did not care for the first act. And then Sylvester Stallone was like, sometimes you need to fix the pacing. But then everything else was like, this is the best movie I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Or it's like, Randy Couture is the man. The dialogue was so natural. And I'm like, why does all this handwriting look the same? Because it really does. So I was starting to think, like, a lot of these have to be, like, him.
just
going into the theater with, like, a fake mustache.
Yeah. Sly, we need to pad out another 5 minutes for the documentary and the Blu-ray.
I know.
I gotta watch it with, like, the crazy, like, recon mode or whatever.
I know, I do too. Like, I'm probably gonna wind up buying it, so I, like, already sent it back to Netflix. Like, I watched it and sent it back, but I definitely want to see what that's like.
Yeah, I bought it. I bought it last week.
You're goddamn right you did.
It's like, it's got Stallone's commentary, and, like, on the bottom of the half of the screen, just, like, behind-the-scenes stuff.
That's cool.
And, like, I was watching, like, the beginning, you know, like, when they go, like, attack the pirates or whatever, and, like, it's from, like, the pirates, like, video camera mode.
Yeah.
And
oh,
Sly's like, well, you know, I wanted to get, like, a different perspective because, like, the Expendables story didn't start yet, you know, so we got this, like, camera going, and it's, like, black and white and grainy, and then when the Expendables come in, it goes back to, like, you know, regular movie style.
Nice.
Bravo.
It's just like, you know, those laser sights, they were really hard to do because they're not pointing anything, so we gotta, like, point them at where they were pointing. Yeah, so...
Oh, man.
It's like, such an accomplished director.
It's like, I gotta watch, like, First Blood with that, too, because, like, the First Blood commentary, I was listening to a little bit of that, too. It's awesome.
Nice.
It's just like, there was a lot of veterans, you know, they went through something like this, they kind of like Rambo, they had, like, post-traumatic stress disorder, so I want to do this to, like, honor the veterans.
God damn it.
Whatever you say, Sly.
And I love him so much. I really do, as an actor and, like, general American icon of cinema. But it's like when Clint Eastwood talks in interviews, he always says really profound, like, eye-opening shit.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, wow, like, that's knowledge. Like, that's wisdom that he has in his old age. Sylvester Stallone's like, yeah, we wanted more blood, so we fucked up a lot of shit. And we shot a lot of chinks in this movie, let me tell you. And it's like, whoa, okay. Like, what else did you do? What kind of camera did you use? Digital. Oh, okay. Like,
how many,
don't go in
how
and
much,
expecting to, like,
how much
learn,
steroids
like, all
you stay
to film me. Yeah, oh man.
So that's a bit of a detour, but
yeah, it was.
Yeah, whatever.
So other,
detours are meant to be.
Other stuff coming out this week is Going the Distance, I guess it was like a Drew Barrymore coming to have it in theaters for like 2 weeks.
The fuck is that?
I don't know. So, Justin Long's in okay. it.
Totally
oh,
notable.
Good. It's a movie.
Let me run out and see that. Justin Long's in it.
I'm sure Chris will see it.
Playing Justin Long's friend is Charlie Day from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh yeah.
Which is weird.
And why am I blanking on his name? Jim Gaffigan. He's in it too.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, that
for
movie.
The paycheck.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, work hard for that money, Jim. Work hard for that money.
And then also this week we have Diary of a Wimpy Kid, which I think that came out in, like, March. So I don't even, like, know when, why it's coming out now. The crazy thing in, like, about that is, like, I think it came out, like, a week after Kick-Ass, or, like, a week before Kick-Ass, and I think Chloe Moretz is in that movie. So it's kind of like
so a... is us. Steve Zahn.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like a weird difference between, because it's like Diary of a Wimpy Kid is like this like sweet kids movie, and then it goes to Kick-Ass. It's like Claire much just like calling people cunts and stuff. And then, let's see. Also this week we have Valhalla Rising, which is this crazy Mads Mikkelsen Viking movie that came out in like two theaters.
Sorry.
The hell was that?
That was my immigrant song.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it.
Yep. Hit a new low. Awesome.
Let's see. Also this week on Blu-ray, we have Space 1989, the first season. The classic sci-fi show.
Yep.
Meet the Parents and Meet the Fockers are on Blu-ray. I wonder why.
I wonder why, yeah.
Killzone is on Blu-ray, which is this pretty awesome Korean... Oh, no, wait, is it Korean or Hong Kong? I think it's Hong Kong.
Asian. It's Asian.
Yes.
Say Asian.
We need Chris. We need Chris to verify.
Yeah, I know.
God damn it.
Sort of like it's like a cops going after a gangster movie. It's got some like cool. It's got some cool fight scenes and stuff in it. Cool shootouts. And then there's a bunch of like DreamWorks. Like I don't know if they're getting released or what, but it's like Blu-ray DVD combo packs. So, like Madagascar, Madagascar 2, B Movie, and Monsters vs. Aliens are all on Blu-ray DVD combo packs.
Cool.
All right, so that is it for New Leaf Roundup. So Brian. I'm turning it over to you.
Da, 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 da. All right, so it's time for the very first edition of the Leonard Maltin game on the Everything Action Cast.
TM Doug.
I'll be apologies to Doug Benson, but I'll be running it right now. So it should be pretty easy for you guys.
Why don't you explain how the game works, Brian?
Well, yeah, for Joe.
For Joe.
I'm not even 100% sure because I'll go with what I know.
Okay.
I'll have three categories for you guys. So, you will both be pitted against each other. So one of you will choose a category, then I'll have a year, a movie from this year, that year, or that year, and then you choose a year. And basically I just read off what Leonard Maltin's opinion of the film was without giving anything away too much.
Yep.
And then I will list off how many names are listed as starring in the film. And you will have to guess how many names you can get it in. And
starting from the bottom of the list.
Yeah, starting from the bottom of the list, of course. And then the next player, so if I started with Zach, he'd say like five names. Then Joe can say, you know, less than five names or say, Zach, name that movie. And then Zach has to name that movie, and if he gets it, he gets a point. If not, Joe gets the point, right?
Yep.
And you also have the ability to say, I'll name it in negative two names, which means you will give us two names from the movie.
Well, you can do it negative. It doesn't have to be necessarily two names. You can just like negative names.
Yeah, so you can say negative names, and you have to give how many names?
Like whatever.
A name.
You can bid, like, keep going, like, negative names. You can say, like, I'm going to get negative five names or whatever. You have to name movie and, like, five people in top billing order down from the top down.
From the top down if you do negatives.
Yeah.
So that's basically it. We're going to do best of three.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one to two wins, obviously.
Yep.
So I guess we'll go with Zach first.
Okay.
We have four categories. Just mentioned them. We have Leslie Nielsen films.
Hmm.
We have Irvin Kershner films, who also just passed away. And we have, since he's blowing up lately with movies like Tron Legacy and True Grit, we have Jeff Bridges films.
Hmm.
And something about that Irvin Kershner category is he's a famous director, but he also was an actor in some movies. So just throwing a little clue out to you guys there. There might be some acting roles in there.
Well, I have no idea who Irvin Kershner is, so I'm going to go with Jeff Bridges movies.
All right. For Jeff Bridges movies, we got a movie from 1976, 1999, and 2009.
I'm going to go 1999.
Okay. All right. So Leonard Maltin calls this a labored conspiracy thriller. And that it's obvious and overdone.
How many stars does he give it?
He gives it two stars.
Okay.
And there are seven names.
Seven. I will go five names.
Okay, all right. From the bottom.
Well,
Joe.
Huh? Do you want to go less than five names, or do you want to go have me name it?
I can reread the description if you want to.
Jeff Bridges is in it.
Yeah, obviously. I guess, name it?
Okay.
All right. So the names?
Yep.
From bottom to top, Mason Gamble.
Yes.
Spencer Treat Clark.
That guy, Robert, obviously, yeah.
Robert Gossett. Hope Davis. And here's one you've heard of.
Okay.
Joan Cusack.
John Cusack.
Joan.
Oh, Joan Cusack, okay.
Yeah.
Hmm. It's from 1999?
It's from 1999, and it starred Jeff Bridges.
Hmm. I'm going to have to guess Big Lebowski.
Nope. It was Arlington Road.
Okay.
Oh, he was in that, wasn't he? That was a movie.
That was a movie.
That was a movie.
That movie existed.
So
I figured Big Lebowski 2 was obvious, but like I think that came out like 99 too, so.
No points for you all, and may God have mercy on your souls.
Well, Joe gets
great.
So Joe gets to give it a try. So we have two remaining
characters. Joe gets a point, Brian.
Oh yeah, Joe gets a point.
Yeah.
So that's right, because he didn't get it. He said name it.
Yep.
All right, 1 point for Joe, and Joe's up next, right?
Yep.
Whatever.
It's not. You'll get the hang of it. So for remaining categories, we have Leslie Nielsen films and Irvin Kershner films.
Yeah, fuck that. I'll go with Leslie Nielsen films.
All right. Okay. So we have a movie from 1995, 1997, and 2003.
I'm going to go with 95.
All right. Okay, so two stars from Leonard Maltin says, the movie spends so much time retelling a familiar story, it forgets to be funny. There are choice moments, just not enough. That's it, and there are 15 names.
Holy crap.
Yeah, there's a lot.
God damn.
Actually, wait.
That's a lot of fucking names, like.
Mm-hmm.
Are we counting gaffers or
best boy?
Yeah.
There's actually 14, but.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you think,
so
Joe?
So you can. How many names can you name in them?
Not many at all. If it's the movie, I think it is. Other than Leslie Nielsen. shit. I'm stumped.
We got a name. You can say like 15 if you want.
Yeah, you can do 15. You can
or
14 do.
Or whatever it was.
Yeah.
14 or 13 or 12.
Yeah.
Sure. Name, I guess, 10?
10?
You want 10 names?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay. All right, so starting from the bottom,
well,
we have...
I got counterbid, Ryan.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Zach. How many can you do it in?
We'll see if Joe can name it, so...
Okay. All right, so we start from the bottom with 10. We got Anne Bancroft, Charlie Callis, Avery Schreiber, Chuck McCann, Clive Revel...
Love his work.
Megan Kavanaugh. Mark Blankfield. Harvey Korman.
Harvey Korman.
Hold on. Lisette Anthony. Amy Yazbek. Those are 10 names.
Oh, good.
You should have done an 11.
Yeah, probably. It's okay. I could just take a stab at it.
Yep.
Yep.
Was it Dracula Dead and Loving It?
Yes, it was.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Yes.
The next name was Mel Brooks.
that would have been the. Oh man, yeah, that would have been it right there.
Wow. All right, so Joe wins.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And that was... if you guys are wondering about Irvin Kershner,
I was gonna say, why don't we do that one? Just cause.
we'll exhibition it. Whatever. Yeah.
All right, so I'll give Zach this one just for an extra point. So for Irvin Kershner films, we have 1983, 1990, and 1994.
I'll go 94.
Okay. All right. So 1.5 stars from Sterling and Walton.
Ooh.
Now remember, Dracula Dead and Loving It got 2.
Yeah. Well, so. I think the MST3K movie Laser Blast got 2.5.
God wow. Damn,
really? Which they spend the whole credit sequence just like riffing on Leonard Maltin for. We're like, Raiders of the Lost Ark? 2 stars. Not as good as Laser Blast.
That's awesome.
It's only because it has laser in the title.
Yeah.
Alright, so 1.5 stars from Leonard Maltin. I would disagree for various reasons on this film, but you'll probably wonder why after you find out what it is. He calls it a fast fader of a movie.
Fast fader.
Spiritual mumbo jumbo halfway through looks like an outtake from The Doors.
Okay.
And the anticlimactic final speech had fans bolting for the exits.
Okay.
And there are, wow, you're really going to get this one, 7 names.
I'll go 5.
All right, you're going to get this one. All right, so, Joe, can you name it in less?
Give me 4, whatever. I'll try.
All right, 4. So, Joe, do you want to go less, Zach?
Give me 1 name. Give me no names, I know it.
I'll go 3.
All right, 3. Any last, Joe?
Keep interesting.
No, fuck that shit. No.
All right, so Zach has to name that movie in 3 names. All right, so from the bottom.
Yep.
We have Billy Bob Thornton.
Okay.
Sherry Shattuck. And Arlie Ermey.
Is it On Deadly Ground?
Yes, it is.
Woo!
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah, nice. Irvin Kershner had a small bit role in this movie. I was trying to find stuff that wasn't obvious, because the most obvious thing that he did was he was the director for Empire Strikes Back.
Mm-hmm. And
I couldn't have done
that. That final speech did have people belting for the door. That is a true statement.
he says, Kane looks like he's undergone cosmetic surgery.
Oh, yeah, Michael Caine. I think it was just the hair. His crazy slick back hair.
Other films done by Irvin Kershner that I chose were Never Say Never Again, the unofficial yes. Bond movie. And he did RoboCop 2, so. Alright, that's it for the game.
Yeah, me and Chris always talk about like the Never Say Never Again when they play the fucking video games. It's like they got a casino, and like they go in the back room. It's all like Galaga, and like Pac-Man. And they play that like, crazy like laser game that shocks you. So you got like 70-year-old Sean Connery like playing video games. It's so great. It's weird. That whole movie's weird.
So, yeah, it's weird. He looks like George Hamilton with the tan skin, leathery skin. Yeah, that went over pretty well. We'll have to do it again sometime.
I think it's definitely better with, like, 3 people competing against each other.
Yeah, it is. Definitely. Cool.
The grand experiment worked!
Yes!
All right, so, yeah, that's going to do it for this week's episode of the Everything Action Cast. And if you want more, you can go to www.everythingaction.com. You can find us on iTunes. Actually, Joe, you should retweet that thing I posted, Everything Extra Cast is now on iTunes. We have an awesome, crazy ad for it.
Eagles ask.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait.
Yep. And then also on Facebook, you can email us at everything, contact everythingaction.com, and you can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/EVAction. And, go to iTunes and subscribe to this podcast and also get our app, which gives you the last 20 news stories, and also you can listen to episodes in there. So for Brian and Joe, I'm Zach. We will see you next week.